Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today, we're with Dr. Henry Chapman, who is the director of the Visual and Spatial Technology Centre at Birmingham University. So, Henry, what is it that you do?
Well, I'm an archaeologist at heart. As an archaeologist, I'm trying to understand what people in the past did, you know, past human activity and culture, except that I address that by applying digital technologies to try and find my answers. So I'm using computers and other sorts of technologies to understand past culture.
So does that mean that you don't do the things that we think archaeologists do, like go out on digs?
No, you always have to dig, you always have to do field work, you always have to do survey. But more recently, there's been a realisation that actually these technologies are allowing us to start to ask new questions and to try and understand the past in different ways. So things like laser scanning, for example, is providing us with a very different type of information, which means that we can start asking new questions of the past and get new answers.
So at the moment, archaeology is actually quite a fast-moving discipline.
It is, bizarrely, it is a fast-moving discipline in certain areas. I mean, there are the traditional bits which are unlikely to change. It's an exciting place to be because we increasingly use scientific methods. So when we look at past debates, there's always been very much of a difference between the sciences on one side and the humanities on the other, and archaeology is firmly within the humanities side. But increasingly, it's moving across. It's using science to understand humanities questions. So we're bridging this gap between the traditional boundaries of research.
So there's the stuff that you do for research, but there's also the stuff that we, as members of the public, experience when we go along to a museum, for example. And digital heritage is changing that as well, isn't it?
Museums are changing because of the increase in digital content. This means we actually have access to the collections, that the hidden riches of our museums and archives. These things are becoming accessible, even over things like the internet. But more than that, not only can we access areas of these archives which we previously wouldn't have been able to get hold of, but also we can actually engage with those data sets in much more exciting ways. So there's very much a growth at the moment in terms of online databases within museums. But actually the way you experience that data through the development of things like touch technologies. So you have touch tables and touch screens where you can engage, multiple groups can all engage together and try and find out answers about the past.
So this is technology that you're using now. When are we going to see this? When am I going to be able to go into a museum and see these technologies and use them?
I think in the next couple of years, visiting museums, particularly the large museums, is going to be a very altered experience. What we'll start seeing is not only the ability to see the hidden wealth of a museum through digital interfaces within the museum space, but also potentially online and other sorts of ways through mobile devices as well, mobile phones and so on. There's going to be that engagement, but also within the next couple of years, there's going to be an increase in the ability for the person visiting the museum to actually upload their own experiences and their own information. So very much in the social networking concept, what people are going to be able to do is bring along their own histories, their own stories, their own photographs and archives, and bring those into the museum in a digital way, and also to be able to download from the museum information which actually appeals to them. And also the potential for collaborative investigation of the past. So I can see within 5 years, school parties visiting a museum will be all interacting over a multiple interface touch screen type of technology, where they will all be investigating questions and stories about the past. And that's an exciting place to be at the moment. For example, computer games. Computer games are brilliant because they are a ubiquitous interface. Everybody knows how to play computer games, and their use of that way of engaging with landscapes and environments. We're already uploading our past landscapes and our past environments, the archaeology, into these environments to try and understand them better, try and interpret them and look at different types of reconstructions and interpretations. But also, this same technology not only is helping research, but is also allowing us to present the past to people in new and novel ways, so people can experience it in a platform which they're used to and in a way which is much more satisfying than just visiting a static museum.
So we're at a very exciting point where we're just poised for this to happen.
It's just starting now. When we look at some of the data on this, we look at companies like Gartner who predict the uptake of new technologies. We know that within 5 years, the world of technology within public spaces, like bars, casinos, this will change. We will have touch technology. We will have much greater interfaces with our mobile devices, with devices within these public spaces. This even breaks down into the idea of augmented reality. So using your same mobile device, you walk around a city centre and you can see what it might have been like at different periods in the past through your mobile device. So this is a very exciting time.
And how is that going to affect what's being done in universities?
What we're seeing in universities is the need, because of this cross-collaboration between different disciplines. This is essential. This is already happening. But also what we're going to see is that whereas before we undertook research in things like archaeology and heritage, and then we presented it, what we're seeing now is a breakdown of that boundary. We will still be doing interpretation of the past. We will still be putting that into museums. This will be added to by the public. But also, on top of all of that, we can start to monitor and understand how people learn about the past. So through these technologies, we can map actually the way things people are interested in, the ways they interact with those different bits of archival information. And this is a revolution.
So to give me an example from some of the stuff that you're doing here at the Vista Centre.
We've been working recently with Eton College on the creation of a three-dimensional digital simulation of a museum. So we are taking objects from this collection of ancient Egyptian art, it's archaeology. We're creating 3D, very, very high resolution 3D models through laser scanning, which is an archive set, but also you producing sort of smaller versions of these online. So the idea is anybody in the world, anywhere, from schools to, you know, school children to professors, can access 3D objects and make measurements from them to find out more about particular objects or to compare between objects. Because the resolution is so high, you can actually find out more from looking at the model than you can from the original object, ironically. But what's really exciting about this, although we've only started substantially within one collection, although there's bits from other collections we're working on, the potential of this is to generate the museum without any borders. So what we're looking at is we can have a collection of a particular type of artifact, you know, a particular bit of archaeology. We can look at all of those from different continents, from across the world. So you can visit a single place and there is a museum, a virtual museum of very high resolution objects. This is not to say that we'll stop people from visiting the physical objects, because issues like authenticity, people will always want to see the objects, and research has shown this. But what it does allow us to do is make comparisons between the real physical objects and these virtual collections. And what's even more important, I think, is that we're preserving these objects forever. So whatever happens in the future, we have a near-perfect record of those objects.
So in summary, it's a very big, exciting revolution in your world.
It's a complete revolution. That's a really good word for it. What we are seeing is all the past boundaries, whether they're between disciplines or between sectors or even between the reuse of information, it's all breaking down, very much like we're experiencing within the digital sector generally. So through things like social networking and through mobile devices, and everything is merging and blurring.
We tend to think of archaeology about being purely about objects, but it's about human behaviour as well. Is that right?
That is right, because we study objects in the main to try and understand people. This actually raises quite a big challenge within the digital sphere, because for computer scientists, trying to model human behaviour, particularly past human behaviour, when it's so unpredictable, is a real challenge. So one of the things which we're doing now, and I think will grow significantly, is the use of agent-based modelling, where we actually provide a kind of artificial intelligence to individuals and actually see how they react and respond in certain situations. So an example of this is some work we've been doing on the Battle of Manzikert, which is 11th century battle in Turkey, but actually trying to understand how soldiers interact with one another when you've got a very large army of different languages and different cultural backgrounds, and actually how do they work together. And this is now becoming possible. We can start modelling behaviour of people in the past.
So let me get this right. You use a computer to model an army?
It's a massive computing challenge, but it allows us to start asking questions about the past, which we'd never have imagined we could ever answer.
Dr. Henry Chapman, thank you very much.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.